Thanks, Virgil. All right, this is Austin Roof here on KSDP. We are live on the 30th of March, 2020, well into the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. And as everyone knows, it's changed life from top to bottom, and not the least bit with these schools, as they've been closed for a number of weeks now, and extensions to those closures are going well in towards the end of the year. So on the phone right now, I have Lindsay Pinkelman. She's a school resource counselor and advisor, and we also have Superintendent Patrick Mayer, the superintendent for the Aleutians East Borough. They're going to come on here, and we're going to make this for Lindsay a weekly occurrence where she comes and brings awesome updates for the school, as well as cool interviews to give everyone tips, ideas, and hope through this time. But today we're going to have her lead a little question and answer with Superintendent Mayer about what the recent mandates are doing to the school district and what to expect from distance learning. We really appreciate both your times. Lindsay, go ahead and take it away.
Thanks, Austin. Yeah, I would love to take the opportunity to introduce myself before I get started with Superintendent Mayer. This is actually my first year as the Aleutians East Borough School District school counselor. And what is unique about my situation is that I'm actually a virtual school counselor. I currently live in Delta Junction, Alaska. We're located 5 miles from Fort Greely, which is the missile defense base that provides a lot of opportunity locally for employment, and also brings in a lot of National Guard soldiers from all around the world. And we're also located on the road system 100 miles south of Fairbanks. And Delta Junction actually is considered the official end of the Alaska Highway because it merges to the Richardson Highway right in the center of town. But virtual school counseling is not new to me. It was actually my first job back in 2008. As I worked for Delta Cyber School in the Delta Greeley School District. I worked for the Delta Greeley School District for 9 years, and that is actually where I had met Superintendent Mayer. And so we go back a long way, and he was my principal while I was the school counselor at Delta High School. So I have a lot of experience helping students in the areas of academic, career, and social-emotional learning. And actually, the radio is not new to me either. We have a high school radio station in Delta Junction, and I started a show called The Job Line, where I would gather employment opportunities throughout our community, and I would advertise them on the air and be a resource for local community members if they needed help with their employment seeking. So I'm looking forward to this opportunity to take advantage of coming in weekly. I think we're going to call the show the School Resource Network, because I want to provide this time slot on Mondays at noon to be able to educate and bring in resources and provide learning opportunities to parents and students. And more importantly, talk about all things school counseling, because that's what I love to do. So on our inaugural show, our first guest is Patrick Mayer, the superintendent of the Aleutians East Borough School District. And I wanted to bring Superintendent Mayer on to talk about all the changes that are happening in our communities throughout the Aleutians, because I know as a parent myself, it has been really challenging trying to navigate all this information that is coming at us at such a fast speed, and also not really knowing what the expectations are for learning during this unique health crisis. So while Mr. Mayer and I are talking about all of this, if you have questions, feel free to text me at, go ahead and get a paper and pencil, but go ahead and text me at 909-222-6423, and we'll try to get him on the air. So if you miss that number, I'll repeat it throughout our interview as well. But good afternoon, Superintendent Mayer. How are you doing?
Well, good afternoon to you and members of the audience. Thank you for asking me to be on your radio show.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to learning about all the information you have. So as of, let's see, it's 12-12. So as of 12-12 on Monday, how is the Aleutians Eastborough School District meeting the government mandates for the Alaskan people? Because it's been a lot. I feel like we've had 3 or 4 updates just within the last few days, huh?
Well, it is challenging to keep up on those updates, and I thank you for that question. I guess I would start by saying we live in interesting times. And so everybody's life changed to varying degrees when we received our initial health mandate from the governor's office that had a school component in it, eliminating student-to-student contact from March 16th through March 31st. So we are still in that initial health mandate time frame. And so there have been some other changes in terms of the mandates along the way that include travel. But through those changes and modifications, adjustments in health mandates, the fact that schools remain an essential and critical function has not changed. And so it's part of the critical infrastructure of the state. So teachers are still working for the district, and in fact, staff are still working within the district to maintain that critical infrastructure during the time of no student-to-student contact. And that is the way it currently stands. I listened to all the mandates. There are districts that, not to go too far south here, but districts that have staff that have been unable to get back to their districts because of quarantine and self-quarantine and social isolation. And so that impacts districts, all across the state. Every district is dealing with maintaining their instructional component a little bit differently. Some districts have all the connectivity they need, all the broadband they need. Case in point would be Anchorage. And then you have the other end of the spectrum, a place like the Aleutians Eastborough School District. We have very limited local connectivity. So our approach to providing student services is vastly different than what you see in Anchorage. And then you have all points in between. So we have crafted, staff have crafted, site administration has crafted a plan where we prepare work for students in hard copy, and that schoolwork is delivered to students along for a predetermined amount of time, 1 week to 2 weeks, and then that information that is given to parents and families is turned back into the school, or it can be picked up by the staff when we deliver our lunches, which is another thing that we're doing is we are maintaining our lunch program and feeding students throughout this whole scenario that we find ourselves in. With regard to changes in how we deliver our instruction. So we're providing lunches, we're delivering work, we're receiving work back. And just a very important footnote here, we are working with our Director of Technology, Kirk Feldbauer, who has been working tirelessly with the Alaska Telecommunications Association, with also with Austin Roof, the radio station, statewide technology directors to find ways to connect rural Alaska. So we have a couple of different plans. We have an A, B, and C actually that we're working on. We hope to provide some opportunities for students of a digital nature, hopefully before the year is out. So that was pretty long-winded of me. I took a lot of time on that, and I hope I didn't over-communicate to your question, Lindsay.
No, you provided so much information, and I think I just might break it down a little bit more. And so I've been privy to be in some of those back-end communications with regards to how school districts across the state are trying to continue to educate via distance. And so you had mentioned packets, and those are being delivered by site administrators or those that have been designated to deliver them with school lunches on the bus route or the, like, in town. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, they've been delivering it along the bus route. We felt that that was the most effective way to make sure that the information was received by the students. Now, if for whatever reason students aren't out there to pick up their lunches or such, then we make them available at the site, and they can make arrangements to get them at the school. And of course, what we're trying to do is we're trying to minimize the amount of contact between everyone concerned in the community. So, yeah, we're there. The teachers are still on site. The teachers are still working on site, and we will work with families and students however we can in order to provide learning opportunities during this difficult time. One other thing I forgot to mention is that beginning last week, sites put together a schedule for students to be able to, and families to be able to communicate with the teacher of their child. So staff are reaching out to parents at a predetermined time. And also there's an open time during the day at sites where parents and or students can contact the teachers in order to get assistance with their work as the need arises.
That's a really great idea to kind of have something maybe considered like open office hours for parents and students. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's correct. Yeah, that would be a simplification of what I said, yeah. They're kind of the equivalent of office hours. So,
excellent. Well, I'm just going to pause here and remind our listeners that if they have questions, to go ahead and text them in to 909-222-6423. So with this new transition, I guess, of in-class to distance learning, how... Like, we're talking about allotment of time towards schoolwork, and is it fair to say that the time allotted towards schoolwork is not the same at home as it would be if students were in school from 8:30 till 3:15?
I think that's fair to say. The information that's being delivered to families is... not the same as it would be as if students were coming to school. It's just not. There's no direct instruction component that's taking place or what would you know, be considered a standard lesson delivery and subsequent assessment that would take place. So it kind of leads right into that whole discussion of you know, how would we maybe do something that has been limiting to us in the future, in the past, how we could maybe make that better in the future. So, and you might want to actually get Mr. Feldbauer on the phone for one of your programs, Lindsay, to discuss this. But just in a nutshell, there's a couple of choices, one of which we've ordered some panels that actually could be placed strategically in the community, and we could connect people or students locally through their Chromebooks to a server at the school that would have a preloaded content in there, and students would be able to access that content. Now this is futuristic, right? We don't have this yet.
Yeah.
Some of those panels are supposed to be coming in today, and then we'll see about getting them installed and and pushed out. And then we'll have to, of course, train staff and then students, figure out how to train students so that they could access this information as well. But it's pretty cool. The other one is how could we provide connectivity to students locally via the Internet to be able to accomplish what I just described only in a broader sense using the Internet. And what we run up against there is we receive funding through what is called E-Rate. And in our case, school districts are allowed to apply for E-Rate funding, but there are, which is based on your percent of free and reduced lunches in the community. And, you know, some years we could get 80% of our Internet paid for, other years maybe 90%. It just varies a little bit from year to year. But there are very specific requirements for E-Rate, and one of those requirements is that the Internet can't be used outside of the school environment, and they actually place a physical limitation on that. So, in other words, if we went outside of what would be constituting the school, then that would be not following the E-Rate rules. So we're seeking a waiver with the FCC using our congressional delegation, Senator Lisa Murkowski and Senator Dan Sullivan and Congressman Young are all supportive of this. It just takes a little time to push this through. And the only reason we would even ask for a waiver is because of this unique set of circumstances that we're in with COVID-19.
So I was going to say is, like, so much is happening behind the scenes right now that may not look like it's coming, but could be here in the next few weeks to provide more connectivity to parents and students to maybe supplement what's being provided by teachers as well. I know I'm in an area that has connectivity, and there's so many programs out there that are providing free access to their programs or their museums, concerts, etc. And one of the things that I've been enjoying doing with my kids is taking them on virtual field trips. We go to the zoos a lot. We check in on the animals, see how they're doing. A lot of them are doing live feedings. We can go to children's museums. So hopefully if that connectivity happens, it might open up some of those opportunities to our students in the Aleutians East. So kind of going with technology still, I had a question regarding TV and public TV. Do you know anything about how public TV is being used to provide supplemental education to students?
Well, it is a possibility, and we, reached out to Austin Roof. He has a lot of connections with public radio, public TV, in order to see if, you know, we could figure out how to utilize public TV out here for content delivery. That's still in the initial stages. That just sort of rose to the surface last week, and I know there's been some discussion about that, but I'm a little unclear yet as to what that would look like. I've been more focused on trying to assist the tech department in getting some connectivity. But public radio, public TV, if we can harness that strength, I think it's a great way to push out content. I think it's worth exploring, and there's some excitement around that idea.
That's awesome. And I hope that out of this health crisis that we are able to figure some of these technology connectivity issues out, and it will end up providing so much more opportunity in the future for ways that we can continue to educate in rural Alaska.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's this situation with COVID-19 that we found ourselves in is, has forced us to think in some different ways out of necessity, and sometimes there are some good things that fall out of a difficult situation. So we'll see. We haven't accomplished where we want to be, getting to where we want to be yet, but I do feel like we're making some pretty good progress.
Yeah. Well, you have provided so much information for our listeners, and I know that this more information is going to be coming our way soon. I'm originally from Phoenix, Arizona, and have been kind of watching their updates, and their governor just closed the schools for the rest of the year. And so I kind of, in my mind, am expecting sort of that to trickle down to other states. So it wouldn't be surprising if Alaska ended up heading that direction as well.
So along those lines, you know, the like I said, the original directive from the state was to have no student-to-student contact until March 31st. Now, so we're in the last day of that right now. And so the latest date was updated to May 1. That is the time that we know we're not going to have any student-to-student contact until May 1. And what the state does between now and then, I know we'll all be watching very closely. I know that I have spent a lot of time just in outreach and communication over the last 2 weeks, and lots of discussions with superintendents around the state and with the Commissioner of Education and the Governor's Office to help craft this path forward. So there is a lot of emphasis being placed on how to assist schools that, again, are all different in the way they're approaching the education side of the house. So we know that right now that date is May 1st, and it could be adjusted in the future. And I want to just a couple things that come up that are, you know, people ask about graduation. And so, we are not ready to, make a statement on graduation, proms, things like that at this point, because those are beyond that May 1st deadline. We have, however, canceled all in and out of state travel for students that impacted Close Up and other out of state travel that was in the works. So that's really sad that had to be put in place, but it was put in place for good reason, and I'm hopeful that the situation will clear before all of those other big events in the student life, but it is a challenging time, and we take our information from those mandates that come out from the governor's office, and I will most certainly continue to post on our Facebook page and on our district website. Please go there for the most up-to-date information and links to the state of Alaska so that we can, keep you as well informed as possible. I also want to just give the phone number out here to district office. It is 907-383-5222. And if we can, answer any questions, I'm happy to talk at any time. And I feel comfortable in saying that our site administrators at all four sites, Sandpoint, King Cove, False Pass, and Accutan, are willing to do the same. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I think you had said something that's really important, like, There is a lot of speculation that could be going around right now, but currently it is important to follow the mandates and directives from the governor, and currently that states that May 1st is our new reassessment date, so to speak. So beyond that, nothing has been determined. Regardless of what other states are doing, it's important that Alaska is the one that's followed.
Right. And I guess we're lucky in that as a smaller community and communities out here in the Aleutians, we don't have any known COVID-19 cases anywhere that I'm aware of. And so we're lucky there. Other locations in the state are struggling right now with outbreaks to a varying degree. So that's a really positive thing, and we can all hang our hat on that for now.
That's very positive. So in closing, Superintendent Mayor, thank you so much for your time today. And stay safe and continue to do the great job that you do educating and advocating for the students of Aleutians Eastboro School District.
All right. Thank you very much, Lindsay. We appreciate you being on board. You do a great job for us.
Thanks, Superintendent Mayor. Have a great day.
Yep. You too. Bye.
Bye. So as we move forward in this new era, I guess, of education, Superintendent Mayor left us with a lot of information that we can continue to use to work with our school sites and our school administrators to continue to provide work for our students. You know, this is also a good time to supplement your child's education with activities that you enjoy doing together, whether it's playing store and working with money and teaching about money, or getting a good book and sitting down and reading it together and predicting and talking about the experience of the characters in the book, and then, you know, translating those questions to your kids and have them continue to use their imagination to dream about their future and what's possible. And definitely more importantly, because I'm an outdoor person, just get outside. It's sunny. We have more daylight, which is such a blessing that we're not in the middle of winter and it's dark. So take advantage of the snow and the sun. That is all healing as well. And as we close for today, I'll leave you with a quote from Coretta Scott King. She's the wife of Dr. Martin Luther King and the leader, one of the biggest leaders in the civil rights movement. She said, "The greatness of a community is most accurately measured by the compassionate actions of its members." So thank you for listening, and join me next Monday on the School Resource Network. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. Appreciate your time and all that you did for us. We'll talk to you again next Monday.